Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. And in him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Powerful words here. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8 on page 916. Again, keep your finger, or you can take a visitor card and put it in the Colossians if you want, something to mark that page. Turn to Romans chapter 8 on page 916, starting in verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been on a plane and thought, what if this plane crashes? Sometimes we get a little bit nervous, you're taking off or whatever. Sometimes I've been flying over the ocean, I think, what would happen if all of a sudden this plane just, zoom, starts going down? What would I be like in that moment? Would I just shout out? I'm sure I would. But at the same time, would I know the peace of Jesus? Would I be able to say, Lord, here I come, I'm ready. We live with a lot of what-ifs in life. What if my world, as I know it, falls apart? What if a sickness comes? What if I find out I have a few months to live? What would I be like? One thing we know, hard battles and trials will come. Hard battles, hard trials, they will come in this life. This is something that God has allowed and is guaranteed. Our faith will be tested and we will become stronger if we put our trust in him. Will we endure and is our faith strong? So today we will look at the question, how do we live every day in the victory of Jesus, even if our world is falling apart? Let's look first of all to Colossians then, chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So we're looking at two different key themes in this in these passages. First is knowing who Jesus is, knowing more about him, but also knowing what he has done for us. So knowing who Jesus is, we talk about this a lot because we need to grow and grow in our knowledge of Jesus, our knowledge of God, the greatness of his power, who he is, what is his character, and learn more and more about his faithfulness to us. So the first point is here that Jesus is God in the fullest sense. Here it uses the word, the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Now, this is kind of strange, and actually this is the only place in the Bible that uses this word for deity in describing Jesus. Paul here is making the point that everything having to do with God is in Christ. Nothing of God's greatness, his character, his power is absent from him. He is God in the fullest sense. And if we go on and look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, he is the head over every power and every authority. In other words, Jesus is ultimate. There's nothing higher than him and his authority. And in this series on spiritual warfare, we've been talking about this over and over. Jesus is over every power, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And in the spiritual realm, the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. And he has entrusted this power to us also in his name. Number three, then, that Jesus has disarmed the powers of darkness. Look at Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So the cross is much, much more than forgiveness. It is about forgiveness. That in the cross, when we come to Jesus on the cross, and we bow and we confess our sins, our forgiveness is there because the penalty has been taken away because he took that penalty on himself. But it's much, much more. The cross represents victory and it represents triumph. And this is why the cross has such significance in Christianity. It represents the suffering of Jesus, but even more, it represents his triumph and his victory. This means the enemy has been disarmed, and there's no weapon that the enemy can throw at us that can touch us if we are in Jesus. So think about it like this. We've all seen a movie scenario where our hero is in a battle and the other guy, the bad guy, pulls out a pistol and the hero walks like this, confidently. And we hear the guy, he points the gun, it goes click, 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 click. Then there's a look of panic on the guy's face and the bad guy turns and runs. The man was confident, our hero was confident because somehow he'd taken the bullets out of that gun. He knew that pistol had no power over him. This is what our lives are like. When we encounter issues and problems in this world, it's like, Jesus has disarmed the enemy. The weapons are nullified, and this will not touch me. And therefore, I can walk into this battle, whatever it is, with confidence and with peace, knowing that Jesus is with me. So we're just recognizing Jesus is all-powerful, and his power is for you. Which leads us on to our main second point, which is that we know who we are, but we're going to focus on what he has done for us. Look at Colossians 2:10 again. It says, you are complete in him. This was a theme in one of the songs that we sang. He has brought us to fullness. Jesus went to the cross for us to bring us to fullness. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. I want to read a testimony that I received this morning from a young man in our congregation. Let me just read it to you. I realized that my life before Jesus is one without grace and forgiveness. My life was incomplete. I was following Jesus, yet I was living by the law. I did some things for God, but I was leaving other things for the world and for myself. Jesus has made many differences in my life as well. He's changed my hope, future plans, and thoughts and actions. Jesus has taught me to preach the gospel to myself every morning. I love that part. He's taught me to preach the gospel to myself every morning. And he's taught me to turn the other cheek and love my neighbors. When you feel Jesus changing your life from the inside and you feel his call, take action on it. We can only grow through through the adversity that is getting out of our comfort zones and acting on Jesus' leading and call for our lives. There's so much that God has given us. He's given us fullness. And it says that in Romans chapter 8, 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So hold this together. Fullness of life, and he has graciously given us all things. Are we walking in the victory of fullness of life and the victory of having received all things? I'd like you to say, I don't do this very often, I want you to say something with me. I am not lacking in anything in Christ. Say that together. I am not lacking in anything in Christ. One more time. I am not lacking in anything in Christ. So this verse, in preaching to ourselves, this is a good word. This is something I've been doing in these past couple weeks. You know, as I get older, I'm not quite as confident in myself as I was when I was younger. When I was younger, I was pretty confident. Let me just put it that way. I think it goes with seasons in our lives. I wasn't afraid of fears. I took them on. I charged ahead. But as I'm getting older, I'm becoming more and more aware of my shortcomings. And I think this is probably a good thing. But it can also lead sometimes to a little discouragement. And I confess out loud, I am not lacking in anything in Christ. I have everything I need for what God has called me to. And one thing I know is that God is faithful. I've seen it over and over again. I can look back over my life and I can say with confidence, God loves me. He is with me. And he has given me fullness of life and he has never let me down. Yes, I've gone through some hard times like all of us. But in those times I grew and I can see God's wisdom. And I can see that he was with me, and he carried me through. My confidence, though, in Christ continues to grow. I am more and more in awe of our God. I'm more and more in awe of watching his work unfold and realizing how little it has to do with me. That I can let go and just obedient to what calls me to every day, and then watch beautiful, wonderful things unfold. And this is what we're watching here in this congregation, is the unfolding of God's wonderful plan for us. That he's given us all things, and he has brought us into fullness of life. So again, I ask, are you confident in him? And are you experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus gives? This fullness then, includes knowing that you are chosen and that you belong. It says in Colossians 2, 11, 14, it's talking about circumcision here. I thought about leaving this part out, but I'm like, nope, it's important. It says, in him you were circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands, and your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So this is important. We're celebrating baptism in a week and realizing that baptism then it represents death that we sang this about again this morning and being raised with Christ. In other words, a casting off of our old self, letting it die, and being born again. Now, Paul is using this illustration of circumcision here because he is writing in both passages, in Colossians and Romans, primarily to Gentile believers. And for them, they often felt like outsiders. We're not part of the Jewish nation. We're not part of the original children of God. And he wrote this to assure them, if you accepted Jesus and you've entered into baptism with him, then there's a spiritual circumcision that takes place, which was required to be a Jew. But he's saying for them, Jesus has done it for you already, and you belong. You belong to him. You belong in his nation and his people. You are chosen and set apart by him. In Jesus, we are safe and we are protected because we're his. We're his treasured possession. And he's not going to leave us unprotected. But but he is there to defend. It says that he's interceding for us before the throne of God. So going on to our next point. With God holding on to you, there's no power in this world that can get the best of you. With God holding on to you, there is no power in this world that can get the best of you. Just let that resonate within you. I know there's people here this morning that are dealing with fear. Fear that something's going to happen and you're not going to be enough. You're not going to be able to withstand the trials when they come. But I say to you, in Christ, he is able through you. Hear this. He is able through you, and he is holding on to you, and he will not let you drop. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I love that. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. So back to Romans 8. You can take your finger now out of Colossians. We're going to stick now into Romans. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now, sometimes I read this passage, I just kind of gloss over it because I can't relate to it. But this was very real to the church that Paul was writing to. He talks about troubles, hardships, persecutions, famine, in other words, not having enough food, being naked, not having clothes, danger, a sword, which means people coming after you. He says, we face death all day long, just like sheep ready to be slaughtered. This week I saw on our office desk the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and I read some stories there that just really got my heart. One of them is about a man named Thongkham in Laos. Three times people tried to poison him. They gave some of the food to the chickens, and the chickens all died. A week before he was killed, he received a warning from the owner of a nearby shop. He said the police wanted to kill Thongkham because of his influence as a Christian leader. He replied, I am ready. If God allows me to die, I am willing. Everybody in this world, all of us, we will die. But how I die, it is up to me to give glory to God or not. I am not afraid. I am ready because everything I do is for God. On July 23rd, 2024, he was shot 7 times in his backyard. Today, his wife, Sengadara, and her 2 teenage children have moved to a safer community, but she continues the ministry of discipling leaders and encouraging the persecuted Christians. She says, I will try and go and reap wherever Thongkham has been sowing. Why would I retreat from our brothers and sisters who are bearing such fruit in their lives? Powerful testimony. Thank God we're not facing persecution for following Jesus. But as we said earlier, trials and difficulties, they will come. All of us will face hardships and trials that will test our faith. You may be enduring a hardship right now, or it could be that you're just saying, life is very good, but know this, trials and difficulties will come, and it is up to us. Will we give glory to God or not? It's during these times of discouragement, trials, doubts, fears, whatever it may be, that the enemy attacks. He attacks through doubting, Doubting your salvation through fears, through discouragement, wondering, is God really going to be there for me? He attacks with a feeling that is hopeless. These things are like a cloud that obscures the truth about God, about who we are and what Jesus has done for us. And how do we endure them? How do we prepare so that we will not be caught off guard? It says in 1 Timothy, how do we fight the good fight of faith? First of all, we fight knowing this. We're not fighting for victory. We're living from it, and it is already ours. I love this here in the verse of Romans 8:37. It says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How can you be more than a conqueror, I ask? So I looked this up in the Greek, and actually what this verse means is the word hypernikao, and it means we overwhelmingly conquer. So it means in the battle, we win so significantly and profoundly that the enemy is completely overwhelmed. And this is the battle that Jesus calls us to enter in with confidence that we will overwhelmingly be victorious. Nothing will be left. It's not a little victory, it's not partial. We have complete and overwhelming victory with Jesus. In those times, we remember the promise of Christ on the cross. Not a modest win, but an overwhelming total victory over all the powers of the enemy. We remember the promises of the Lord, like what God said to Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. The words of Jesus, where he said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Jesus is with us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. Even when we failed, even when the trials we're going through are our own fault. Because that's the way it is sometimes. Sometimes we've messed it up. The trials we've brought on are our own fault. Even then, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let's pick you up. I'm going to cleanse you, forgive you of your sins, and we're going to keep going. And I will make something beautiful out of your life. Jesus calls us to fight this battle. But when we know him, we fight from a place of peace. We fight with peace because, hey, I'm at peace. I know the victory has been won. I'm not anxious. I'm not overwhelmed with despair, but I am at a place of peace. Yes, I'm fighting, but it's all good because I know who's with me. I know the weapons of my warfare that Jesus has given me. I know that prayer is powerful and that he has equipped me with everything I need to fight this battle. We have this place of peace because we know that the love of Christ is flowing and overflowing in me. So after this passage that talks about all the difficulties, the hardships, the sufferings, in verse 37 in Romans chapter 8, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And to me, this just brings it all home. Through him who loved us. We need to know the love of Jesus and look back and say, yes, he's loved me time and time again. And his love then sustains us in the battle. It says in verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love it that he starts saying, I am convinced. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Have you found this convincing quality in your life? It says, I know there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. Friends, this is really good news. We have everything that we need. Jesus has triumphed on the cross. He's taken our sins and nailed them to the cross. He's disarmed all the weapons of the enemy. And you have been brought to fullness in Christ. You belong to him. And no one, no power can steal you out of his hand. And you have overwhelmingly conquered. And you will continue to overwhelmingly conquer when you put your trust in Jesus. And nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. So you can rest in this, ultimately knowing that it's really not about you and your faith. It's about Jesus and his faithfulness to you. He is the one holding on to you. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We may feel weak, discouraged, and downtrodden, yet even then, his love for you holds, and he will carry you through from anguish into victory. So with all this in view, know this, you can face any what if situation.